So, today we're asked to read from chapter 20 of the Madhya Lila. Okay. Certainly, those prayers for the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Panchatattva prayers, and the Maha Mantra, hopefully will clear all obstacles, and that somehow this class will be helpful for all of us, you know, both for our speaker and the listeners, in such a way that we'll get a personal message from the Lord Himself in this, that somehow whatever we are as persons, that we'll understand according to our nature and realization that we'll make a positive step towards the spiritual world. So, purport. Actually, Sanatan Goswami belonged to a Brahmana family because he belonged to the Sarasvati division of the Brahmanas and was well cultured and educated. Somehow or other, he accepted ministerships in the Muslim government. Therefore, he had to associate with meat-eaters, drunkards, and gross materialists. Sanatan Goswami considered himself fallen, for in the association of such men, he also fell victim to material enjoyment. Having passed his life in that way, he considered that he had wasted his valuable time. This statement about how he became fallen in this material world is made by the greatest authority in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Actually, the whole world is presently fallen into material existence. Everyone is a meat-eater, drunkard, woman-hunter, gambler, and whatnot. People are enjoying material life by committing the four basic sins. Also, they are fallen if they simply... Although they are fallen, if they simply submit themselves at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they will be saved from sinful reactions. Om Adnyanatim Marandasya Jananjana Salakeya Chaksho Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Sri Gurave Namaha. There's a whole string of statements there by Sanatan Goswami. It said that the Uttama Adhikari feels himself fallen. That actually they are the lowest of men, and that all others are actually in some way superior, in that they are serving the purpose of the Lord, that they're all servants, that somehow that this is his position in this world, that he's come here and he's the most fallen of all persons. As we go through this, I'm just trying to think exactly how to approach this. It's based on a person in surrendered mood. He's approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this surrendered mood. He's saying, I don't know anything. I'm fallen. Supposedly, he thought he was in a low-born family. You know, for whatever reasons that was, he had this conviction within himself that having been born into such a situation, whatever family, that he was low-born. He himself was low-born. That he said here, and he says here, I was born in Lochath's family, and all, and are all low class, and my associates are all low class men. I myself am fallen, and the lowest of men. This came up in the Bhagavad Gita class. Somebody asked me, who was the lowest of men? Personally, I said that those who are envious and mischievous, you know, they cause harm to others. They deliberately criticize and that are harsh. And they certainly, when people, other people are unhappy, they're happy. And when they're unhappy, he's happy or she's happy. You know. But actually, I read Kill Cow. Was reading some of Kill Cow last night. And Prabhupada comments there in one of his statements. He says, they're the lowest of men. They kill the cow. So, we've got two approaches to this in a way that we see in this world that we, it talks about here in the following the, they're committing the four sins, you know, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and tell me the other one, please. So, meat eating, yes, of course, meat eating. And so he was associating with such persons, but he didn't tell Lord Chaitanya, oh, because I was forced to by this Hussein Cha Sa, and that somehow it wasn't my fault, and I had to take this position in his government. But he was forced under the threat of harm to the Vaishnav community. They promised to take violent action against the Vaishnavs. He and Rupa Goswami were put into such a position. And so, being compassionate to his fellow Vaishnavs, he took upon as a very uncomfortable situation for a person of such actual cultured background, very educated, actually knowledgeable in the scriptures and many languages. And so he makes this statement to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in all submissiveness. Now, there's a thing here that actually that we come to understand that when we meet the person who is superior to us in spiritual knowledge, we must submit him. We may even know the scriptures. We may know everything about the scriptures, so-called learned scholar. But actually, the Vaishnav, though he may have that ability, there are certain things. You know, you take, for instance, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. He was an amazing intellect, amazing empowered person, you know, brought to this world. He knew practically everything by memory after reading it. He memorized the English language completely just by going through dictionaries. Please understand this. This person was a fantastic intellectual. But Gauri Kishore Das Babaji, who was his spiritual master, was a non-intellectual. He was not learned, as would be understood. but he knew the purport of all the scriptures, and he could answer them all. You see, the great souls, the Lord from within, can speak. Because they are in such a position like Sanatan Goswami. They want to know. They want to give. These are the conditions of a great soul. They want to help the conditioned souls. They're pleading in their hearts. Their unhappiness, actually, they're never really unhappy because they're directly in connection with the Lord. But their unhappiness is seeing others unhappy. So we can see the difference that between the materialistic persons in this world. It's vice versa. If somebody's better than them, they put them down to put themselves up. And when others are down, this is their satisfaction. So we all maybe have experienced these sort of feelings towards people. And it gives us an indication of our fallen state, that if we have such feelings in terms of in contradiction to this sign of humility here, then we when we should feel repentance, actually. We should feel very sad inside that actually that we can't judge anybody because we're fallen. Jesus said, let he who is without sin throw the first stone. To a woman who was a prostitute, she was committing adultery. They were going to stone her. And they, in the eyes of the law, that was the judgment, to stone this offense. But Jesus, he came and he stood there. But he wasn't stopping them. He was educating them. First he would educate the so-called people who were going to punish her. His statement was, let he who is without sin cast this first stone. And this is a very good question, because in their self-righteous nature, but they had, he gave them that because of his potency. They couldn't say. They couldn't do it. They couldn't throw a stone. They knew. You see, Prabhupada had this also this potency. He could go to the heart, penetrate those who were sinful, and actually create some light within them, and touch them, penetrate their heart. So Jesus did. But also, the woman. It wasn't that he was being compassionate to her and that she was a woman. He said to her, go and sin no more. So he didn't let her off. Again, his potency was there, was such that she didn't. She became a reformed person. In fact, a follower. So, what are we looking at here? We're looking at the potency of the real Vaishnavas, the humility of their qualities, and we can read all about them in the Bhagavad Gita, of what Sanatan Goswami was like. But I'd like to read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita here. Is maybe a few verses to give us some nice perspective on this submission of Sanatan Goswami. Such a wonderful person. But in such a state, when he came through the forest, to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was in a disease-ridden condition, covered in sores, pus all over him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. And he said, he even was thinking, I shall take my life. I'm such a wretched soul, and he's touching me. I must now take my life. Mahaprabhu, he understood. He knew what he was thinking. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he says, now he gave the teaching that you don't belong to yourself. We don't belong to ourselves. None of us. We never did. And so we start to look at renunciation. We look at renunciation in the real view. Renunciation is renunciation of our false ego. That who we are, what we are in this world, what we've been born with in the terms of a body, a mind, an intelligence, that we should renounce that. We have to start again. Like Sanatana Goswami, he's starting again. And so he's going to ask some questions. I'll just read the English translation. I do not know what is beneficial for me or what is detrimental. Nonetheless, in ordinary dealings, people consider me to be a learned scholar, and I am also thinking myself as such. So, what did he mean when he said, I'm most fallen, but then also he thinks he's a learned scholar? It's what we spoke just minutely before, that this learned scholar business is not our goal. Dhyan is not our goal. But a certain type of dhyan is necessary. Bhakti dhyan. The knowledge of bhakti. This is dhyan. The topmost knowledge. And then he says, so I consider myself a learned scholar. I am almost thinking myself as such. Out of your causeless mercy, you've delivered me from the materialistic path. Now, by the same causeless mercy, please tell me what my duty is. Duty is an amazing thing. That first they were under the Muslim rulers, and they had to be the governors of the state, and they were doing so well, but they always did their duty perfectly, even under such oppressive conditions. And you see, it's a contrast, isn't it? He's saying to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, now, what is my duty? But he's talking to somebody who's in spiritual knowledge, that knows much more than he does. But he's now come to that point where he surrendered himself. And he knows his duty, but he's always known his duty in terms of his position and his situation. He didn't want anybody to suffer on his behalf in his previous situation. So he did his duty perfectly. But also, this is his nature. They can be perfect in that they can also help people in a situation they're in. And likewise, many people, and I think that I talk to our members of congregation in this, and I see them in all sorts of difficult situations. I hear of their situations in so many difficult places. And their association, as it declares here, is terrible. It's very depressing for them. But what we see is that we're looking at a temporary situation. That Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami were in a temporary situation, as we all are. We're short-lived. We're in a very temporary situation. That actually, that our situation in whatever we're doing, we can do is a matter of duty. But we have to understand that duty is respect to our Krishna consciousness. This is our renunciation. I heard Prabhupada say this morning in this class, he said, our renunciation is not that we renounced the way of life. We renounce the consciousness of the way of life. We renounce that actually that somehow or other we're in a situation that is given to us by the Lord is another side of his causeless mercy. That it's the mercy that shows the suffering in this world, the difficulties in this world, that he's trying to give us a message of this world. It's the causeless mercy that Krishna is putting us all in a situation that we all deserve. Whatever difficulties, and to complain in some way is actually our non-acceptance of our situation. Prabhupada, he says, better to suffer than complain. Now he knows the message of this. He realizes that actually to be in this world is because we deserve to be here. There's nothing great about us. Our greatness comes from the great, isn't it? That's the actual understanding. I have no greatness. So I try and speak to those who are in touch with the great. And then Prabhupada says again, I'm not telling you to follow me. I'm telling you to follow Krishna. And so we start to find out that the great are telling us, don't follow me. And that, and then he says, that I'm not telling you, I'm your friend. Krishna's your friend. That way I can be a friend. I try to be a friend. I'm passing on the message from the supreme friend. Shri Shri Adagokul Anda Kija, Shri Shri Gornatai Kija, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. So, what we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, he says, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give understanding. So, this is the qualification. Somehow or other, whatever we do, we should do it in such a way is not for our own ego's point of view. We may be very, very good at certain things, but if we pander to this notion that maybe this was good, this was not so good today. No. We're all in a situation that actually it's all good. Krishna's all good. He puts us in a situation whether we may be embarrassed or profane, insulted, that actually this is good. This is actually good for us. That somehow Krishna's giving us a message. That he's telling us, this is your due. This is what we have coming to us. And in our acceptance of this understanding, you know, like Keaton Parikshit, when he was coming back after he put the snake on the sage's neck. He was feeling repentance very powerfully. And Prabhupada says in the purport to this particular verse, he said, this repentance, this feeling of poison within us that somehow we've caused harm to others, and it should feel like poison, is our purification. That actually it's Krishna himself purifying us. But it didn't stop at that with King Parikshit. He had to endure also the curse of the young Brahmin boy. He could have protested. He could have tried to redeem himself. You know, how can I redeem myself? But he wasn't asking for that. He was asking that actually, what do I do now with that which has been given to me and make the most of it? What a message, isn't it? Great message. What can we do to make the most of it? And that's what Sanatana Goswami, he's making the most of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord. He's there in front of him. He's asking somebody who really knows. Not just an impression from our conditioning that we think we know. So then he says, actually, I do not know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process of obtaining it. Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. He says, I don't even know how to inquire. And that's interesting. Because when I'm with my spiritual master, I don't know how to inquire. Mainly because of my own covering. You know, I feel that sometimes that I should be saying something, asking him something. And you know, maybe this is something that it's a fault. And I should be asking him all sorts of questions. But I asked Mother Kalangan about this, and she really put me right on this. That actually the understanding is that you're there for the spiritual master, not for you. The spiritual master will help you. And if there is any need, he'll ask you how you are. What do you need? That's through Krishna in the heart. But our sole purpose, she told me, was to get in there, find out your service, and get out again. Do it. You're not asking for glory. You're not asking for a pat on the head. You're asking for service. Service is not a pat on the head. It's there, very difficult at times. It's something that, you know, but to be without service, that's the most difficult. That's when you suffer. When you've no service. That there's nothing coming. And you think, what have I done? It's like for me with this body, it's gradually being taken away. I feel it every day. So gradually, somehow, that I know certain things I cannot do anymore. And this business of asking others is very difficult because of false ego. I'm conditioned. I mean, when I came here, I was 51. And I was very, very strong still. Very strong. I could do so much, it seemed. But I wasn't. I was living off the modes. Somehow, I was put into a situation where I was useful. Not because of my ability, other than I was there for a service and I was useful to the Supreme Lord. So we start to learn that maybe our abilities are of use to Krishna. And that's what we should be looking for. We should be looking for feeling useful for Krishna, even though whatever comes, that it's painful. And we get situations. But in these situations, we have to judge what to do under our limited knowledge and say, Krishna, what do you want from this now? Prabhupada says, to come away from the mind and to know what to do next, you say, what is my duty now? What should I do now? We should ask ourselves that question. Super soul's in your heart. He gives knowledge too. You're never alone. Your spiritual master is not there. Your Shiksha Guru may not be there. You have to rely on this understanding that is also there. And we seem to forget. So, not to go straight for it. There's a moment. So Patanjali Muni, as I always say this, because it's always a good statement, he says, watch what Krishna's doing before you think of doing or saying. Watch what he's doing. See what's happening. Give yourself time to hear from within. Because it says in Bhagavad Gita, that it says, if you become conscious of me, you'll cross over all the obstacles of conditioned life. If, however, not hearing me, you act under false ego, you'll be lost. Such a statement, isn't it? Beautiful. So, it's again, Sanatana wants his connection of his consciousness with the Supreme Consciousness. He wants to know really what to do. He definitely wants to know. So that's how to inquire. You've got to want to know. Your service is there, you do it, and then whatever comes of that, Krishna will give you knowledge, but so will your inquiry will then come. Because when you cry, that's when you say, what's happening? Isn't it? Krishna wants us to cry too. But it's crying to him, not for me. It's crying, how can I improve my service? I think we better finish there. Any questions, comments?